The Wild Robot. Chapters 31 to 38. This is Mr. Poole reading to you. The stars were out. A fire was crackling in the fire pit. Roz and Brightbill were settling into their first night in their new home. This lodge is where we will live from now on. The robot plucked her son from his little woven nest and placed him on the floor. I hope you like it. The gosling did like it. He liked that it was big and warm and peaceful. He liked knowing that the forest and the pond were just outside. He waddled around, peeping to himself and exploring every corner of the lodge until it was time for bed. His mother carefully laid him on the soft cushion of moss, but he didn't want to sleep there. So she put him back in his little nest, but he didn't want to sleep there either. Brightbill looked up and said, "Mama, sit." Roz sat down. Then he said, "Mama, hold." Roz held him. The robot's body may have been hard and mechanical, but it was still also strong and safe. The gosling felt loved. His eyes slowly went closed. And he spent the whole night quietly sleeping in his mother's arms. Chapter 32. The Deer. The deer family did not run from the sound of snapping twigs and crunching leaves. They had heard all about Roz and Brightbill, and they knew there was nothing to fear. Crown Point stood before his doe and his three-pointed fawns, and the family watched as the robot approached with their gosling, with the gosling on her shoulder. "Hello, dear. My name is Roz, and this is Brightbill. We are looking for a doe named Tawny." Crown Point moved aside, and the doe silently stepped forward. "Mr. Beaver helped us build a lodge," said Roz, "and he thought you might be able to help us grow a garden." "Mr. Beaver helped you?" came Tawny's gentle voice. "You must have done something for the beavers." "I brought them freshly cut trees," said Roz. There was a fest. Whoopsies. Tawny looked at Crown Point, and the buck slowly nodded. "I will help you grow a garden," said the doe to the robot, "if you will let my family eat from it." The robot nodded in agreement, and then she quietly led Tawny back to the nest. Chapter 33. The Garden. After inspecting the grounds, Tawny asked Roz to remove all the dried brambles and weeds and leaves from the garden area. She asked her burrowing friends, the moles and the groundhogs, to dig through the dirt and loosen the soil. And then she asked all the neighbors to do something rather peculiar. "Please leave your droppings around the nest. The more droppings, the richer the soil, the healthier the garden." As you can imagine, Tawny's request got everyone's attention. The place was soon crawling with woodland creatures curious to hear more about the garden project. And just like that, the robot was meeting her neighbors. The plan to help her make friends was already starting to work. There was a festive feeling around the nest that day. Animals were coming and going, chatting and laughing. After some pleasant conversation, each neighbor would choose their spot, leave their droppings, and be on their way, and always with a smile. "We're happy to help," the two smiling weasels, after finishing up their business. "It was our pleasure," said the flock of smiling sparrows before they flew away. "I shouldn't be much longer now," said a smiling turtle as he slowly made his contribution. As all of this was going on, Roz walked around and thanked everyone. "I'm not capable of defecating," she explained, "so your droppings are most appreciated." Once the grounds were fertilized, it was time for the plants. Tawny brought Roz and Brightbill out to a lush meadow. The robot sank her fingers into the ground and felt a spongy layer of roots below the grass. Slowly, carefully, she rolled up wide strips of sod, exposing the dark, wormy soil. She carried the rolls back to the nest and spread them out to make a patchy lawn. Then she transplanted clumps of wildflowers and clovers and berries and shrubs and herbs until the nest was surrounded with a scraggly collection of plants. "It's not much to look at now," said Tawny, "but the grass will grow into these gaps, and the flowers and bushes should perk up in a few days. I'll return soon to make sure it's all taking root. Before long, this will be a lovely wild garden." Chapter 34, The Mother. Like most goslings, Brightbill followed his mother everywhere. He was a slow, tottering little thing, but Roz was rarely in a hurry, and together they loved meandering along the forest paths and around the banks of the pond. However, they spent most of their time right in their own garden. You see, the garden was no longer straggly. Thanks to the robot's careful attention, it was now bursting with colors and scents and flavors. Clearly, Roz was designed to work with plants. "Oh, Roz, you've been busy," said Tawny, as her family grazed on the wonderland of growing things. "This garden is glorious. You'll be seeing quite a lot of us around here." Tawny meant what she said. Every morning, around daybreak, Roz and Brightbill would hear quiet footsteps around the nest. And there would be Tawny and Crown Point and their fawns, Willow, Thistle, and Brook, happily nibbling on the garden. The deer weren't the only regular visitors. The beavers became quite fond of gnawing on a certain hardy shrub at the edge of the garden. Dig Down, the old groundhog, popped up to munch on berries. Broadfoot, the giant bull moose, came by to chew on tree roots. And of course, bees and butterflies were there every day, happily floating through the flowers. There always seemed to be friendly animals hanging around the garden. It was amazing how differently everyone treated Roz these days. Animals who once ran away from the robot in fear now stopped by the nest just to spend time with her. The neighbors smiled and waved whenever Roz and Brightbill wandered past. And at the dawn truce, the other mothers were eager to share their parenting advice. "Make sure Brightbill gets plenty of rest. A tired gosling is a cranky gosling." When the wind starts blowing from the north, you must immediately get Brightbill to safety. North winds always bring bad weather. You'll never be the perfect mother, so just do the best you can. On Brightbill really needs to know you're doing your best. No gosling ever had more attention, a more attentive mother. Roz always there, ready to answer her son's questions or to play with him, or to rock him to sleep, or to whisk him away from danger. With a computer brain packed full of parenting advice and the lessons she was learning on her own, the robot was actually becoming an excellent mother. Chapter 35, The First Swim. "Good afternoon, you two," said Loud Wing as he waddled into the garden. "Remember me, Bright Bill?" "Loud Wing, Loud Wing." "Very good," the old goose giggled. "Now, Roz, do you know what tomorrow is?" "Tomorrow is swimming day, the day when all the parents take their goslings out to the pond, on the pond for the first time, and you simply must bring Bright Bill." "Swim, swim," said the gosling, shaking his tail feathers. "Bright Bill can go," said Roz, "but I cannot swim. I cannot go to the pond with him. I will not be able to protect him." "Who'd have thought of a big thing like you would be afraid of a little water?" Loud Wing laughed. "Well, don't you worry about Bright Bill. He'll be safe in the flock, and he's going to have so much fun swimming with the other goslings. We begin at sunrise, so don't be late. See you in the morning." And with that, the goose plopped into the water and glided away. "Swim, swim," said the gosling. "Yes, Bright Bill," said the robot, staring at the pond. "Swim, swim." Early the next morning, peeps and honks and splashes began echoing across the calm water. Roz and Bright Bill followed a trail through the fog and over to a beach that was crawling with fluffy goslings and proud parents. Roz took a few steps into the water, and her survival instincts immediately flared up. The robot's computer brain knew that if water got inside her body, it could do serious damage. And so the other parents began swimming across the pond. Roz stood safely in the shallows and watched. Bright Bill ran up and down the beach with the other goslings, peeping and laughing and pretending to be afraid of the tiny waves. When one wave finally pulled him in, he felt his body floating on top of the water. A big smile appeared on the gosling's face. Clearly, Bright Bill was designed to swim. "Very good, Bright Bill," said Loud Wing as she floated past. "You're a natural." "Yes, Bright Bill, you're a natural," said Roz, trying to sound like a good mother. Loudwing rounded up all the goslings and gave them a quick swimming lesson. "Remember, everyone, paddle your feet evenly to swim in a straight line. Paddle with your right foot to go left, and paddle with your left foot to go right. Try it out and join the rest of us when you're ready. Happy swimming day." Loudwing and the other adult geese calmly glided toward the center of the pond. A jumble of goslings tried to keep up with them. The youngsters jostled and splashed and peeped with excitement, and gradually they paddled in the direction of their parents. Only Bright Bill lagged behind. "Mama, swim?" Roz pointed to the flock. "I cannot swim. Go have fun with the other geese. You will be safe with them." The gosling took a deep breath. Then he shook his tail feathers and paddled his feet and set out on his very first swim. He drifted too far to the left, then he drifted too far to the right. But his feet just kept paddling until he caught up with the other goslings. Roz spent the morning watching her son swim around and around the pond. And as she watched him, she felt something like gratitude. thanks to Bright Bill. The robot now had friends and shelter and help. Thanks to Bright Bill, the robot had become better at surviving. In a way, Roz needed Bright Bill as much as Bright Bill needed Roz, which was precisely why she felt such concern when the mood of the pond suddenly changed. One moment, everything was tranquil and peaceful, and the next moment, the geese were in a panic. Something was violently sloshing through the group. It was Rockmouth, the giant toothy pike. The fish had been a problem in the pond for as long as anyone could remember, but he'd never attacked goslings before. All the parents immediately went to protect their young. All the parents except Roz. The robot could only stand in the shallows and watch as her son left the other geese behind, desperate as he swam toward his mother. "Swim to me, Bright Bill, quickly!" The gosling kicked as fast as he could, but alone on the water, he made an easy target. The pond rippled as Rockmouth slashed below the surface. "Mama, help!" squeaked Bright Bill. The robot was terribly conflicted. Part of her knew that she had to help her son, but another part knew she had to stay out of the deep water. Her body lurched forward and then backward again and again, and she struggled to make a decision. And then Loudwing came to the rescue. "Loudmouth, don't you dare harm that little darling." "Rockmouth, don't you dare harm that little darling." The old goose fluttered over and splashed down right on top of the fish. "Leave him alone." She pecked and kicked and beat her wings against the fish until he surrendered to the murky depths of the pond. Loudwing escorted Bright Bill back to the beach, and a minute later the gosling was in his mother's arms, safe and sound. "Rockmouth isn't as dangerous as he seems," she said. "Rockmouth isn't as dangerous as she seems," said the goose. out of breath, "but I think that's enough swimming for one day." Chapter 36, The Gosling Grows. Bright Bill soon forgot about the incident with Rockmouth, and he spent his mornings cruising around the pond with other goslings. He was becoming a great little swimmer, and he was so becoming a great little speaker. "Hello, my name is Bright Bill," he said to anyone who would listen. The gosling was small for his age, but he always would be, and he was growing bigger and stronger by the day. His increasing size was matched by his increasing appetite. He gobbled down grass and berries and nuts and leaves. Sometimes he'd snack on little insects. If it was edible, Bright Bill would eat it. And even if it wasn't edible, he might eat it anyway. Roz felt something like fright in the time she saw Bright Bill swallowing pebbles on the beach. She was holding him upside down, hoping the pebbles would fall out of his mouth when Loudwing stepped in. "Put the gosling down," said the goose with a laugh. "It's perfectly natural for Bright Bill to eat a few pebbles. They'll help him digest his food, but not too many. Okay, little one?" Like most youngsters, Bright Bill was incredibly curious. He explored the garden and the pond and the forest floor, and he would occasionally explore neighboring homes. He'd wander down some hole in the ground and say to whoever was there, "Hello, my name is Bright Bill." Then a long robot arm would reach in and pull the gosling back outside. "Sorry to bother you," Roz would say with her friendliest voice. The mother and son slipped into a good nighttime routine. While the gosling slept, the robot might tend the fire, and if it was cool out, or gently fan him if it was warm. If he woke up hungry or thirsty, Roz brought him food or water. And whenever he had nightmares, she was always there to rock him back to sleep. Chapter 37, The Squirrel. A small squirrel was scurrying through the garden. Brightbill had never seen her before. He peered out from the nest and watched her bounce across the lawn. After a minute of spying, the gosling shook his tail feathers and waddled outside. "Hello, my name is Brightbill." The squirrel froze, and she turned around. And then she started to talk. "Hi, Brightbill, my name is Chit Chat, and I'm a 12-and-a-half-week-old squirrel. And I'm new around here, and your home is really big and round, and I don't understand why smoke sometimes comes out of it." Reader, I'm not quite sure how Chit Chat got enough air into her lungs to go on like that. I'm not quite sure how Brightbill had the patience to listen. But he stood there and politely nodded as Chit Chat rambled on and on and on. "And sometimes I see you waddling behind your funny-looking mother, and you seemed so nice that I thought I'd come down and introduce myself, but now I'm nervous and I'm talking so much and my name is Chit Chat. I think I already said that." And there was a pleasant silence. Brightbill stood on one foot for a moment. Then the gosling took a deep breath and said, "It's nice to meet you, Chit Chat, but I don't think you talk too much. I think you talk just enough, and I like it, you, so let's be friends." A big smile appeared on the squirrel's tiny face, but once Chit Chat was speechless. Chapter 38, The New Friendship. Chit Chat wasn't speechless for long. She'd already been alive for her whole 12-and-a-half weeks. And she wanted to tell Brightbill about everything exciting and every boring thing that had ever happened to her. And so, as the new friendship friends played and explored and ate together, the squirrel shared her stories. "I was born on the other side of the island, and then last week I decided I was ready to build my first dray, which is what you call a squirrel nest, and now I live in that tree with the weird bump on its trunk," she said whilst the two of them kicked pebbles into the pond. "One time a weasel chased me through the treetops until he missed a branch and fell all the way down and crashed into a bush and walked away all wobbly, and he never bothered me again," she said, while the two of them crawled through the hollow log. "Ew, gross. I saw you eat that ant one time, and I ate a gnat by accident. And I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. I almost eat acorns and bark and tree. I almost eat acorns and bark and tree buds and sometimes the yummy berries that grow in your garden," she said, while the two of them took a snack break. But Chit Chat was a good listener, and she was like a talker. And whenever it was Brightbill's turn to speak, she'd keep quiet and hang on his every word. Do you know who enjoyed their conversations most of all? Our robot Roz. The protective mother was never far away, and she felt something like amusement at the silly conversations she overheard. And she felt something like happiness that her son had made such a good friend.